November 19, 2019, in Sussex County Council. First, we're going to be approving the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
I don't think you're much on.
Everything on the charge is on.
You're in charge of it all. You're not in charge of it, we're in trouble.
She's a man.
A man is coming up, see if she can get you fixed up.
Oh, electrician.
There we go.
Lights just came on.
Got red lights.
That button wasn't under my supervision.
Amanda, thank you for covering for Robin. Now then, we'll get back to the approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I have no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Entertained motion to approve the agenda? Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I'll be at motion carried. We had the minutes of February 5th. Any corrections, questions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I've been given one letter to read, and it's, my name is Howard Lee Gorell. I'm an old dog from Capitol Hill who's dipped my toes in the Atlantic Ocean off Rehoboth Beach for the last 49 consecutive years. Thank you, Councilman, for allowing me to have an opportunity to tell you about the lack of affordable housing for moderate-income Delawareans. I live in our coastal area year-round three times, 1981 to 85, 1991 to 99, and 2016 to the present. In 2000, I received the 8th annual Mary Custis Strawn Memorial Award for recognition of dedication and commitment to working with the Delaware State Council for Persons with Disabilities on behalf of the citizens of the state of Delaware. Sadly, I've been homeless since September, but while waiting for an affordable apartment becoming available, I hopped from the appears to be air bond property in France to Turkey, from Italy to another place in Italy, to Germany, to Croatia, Cumberland, Maryland, Frederick, Maryland, and finally Milton. Here I'm asking you a tough question. The highest monthly rent of the subsidized apartment of Harper Town is $645, and the lowest rent of the non-subsidized apartment of Carillon Woods is $995. Where could we find an apartment for between $650 and $975? Back to December 13, 2017, your council had a workshop on the lack of affordable housing. The Delaware State Housing Authority told you that the fair market rent for a one-bedroom unit would be $730 monthly. Yes, today is my first time involved in dealing with the Sussex County government. I would be happy to work with Brenda Nauman only in the area of affordable housing for moderate-income Delawareans issue, not the public housing issue. You have a copy of my investigative report on your desk. Reporters of Cape Gazette and Coastal Point have copies. I have no time in reading the minutes of your council meetings, but my report is based on the publications in the Google research. I fear to tell you that your past councils might have several misunderstandings with the developers. Here's one example. On September 20th, 2017, Preston Shell proudly told Cape Gazette newspaper that the rental units will be affordable, estimating a one-bedroom apartment could cost as little as $800 per month. His Atlantic Ocean, and it should be Ocean Atlantic Companies, won your council approval for building the Carillon Woods apartment in Long Neck. 1 year later, they posted $995 for that bedroom. It is a whopping increase of 24.375%. Now, I'm urging your council to instruct your county planning and zoning to not consider any proposal on building an apartment complex unless the developer would guarantee in matching with the fair market rent. However, your commission could consider any luxury proposal only if the developer mentioned luxury. In closing, I'm telling you that last Wednesday I went to the complex and found 13 vehicles parking, so I was curious what state they came from. I got very shocked shocked after reading the following state licenses. There were 9 Maryland vehicles and 4 Delaware. We thought that your council approved the project for forgotten moderate-income Delawareans. Thank you for listening. And this was also, his name may have been listed on the public comment too, so it's not a repetition.
Thank you. Any more correspondence? That's it?
That was it.
Correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Mr. Guy, public comment. As Mr. Guy comes forward, I'll remind the public that this is a 3-minute opportunity to address the council for anything that is county government business only. The council will not respond back to anything you're going to comment on. And there are 3 lights up here, red, yellow, and green. Green light when you start, yellow is a minute. When a red light comes on, we ask you to brief your conversation to an end. Jim Martin.
Hello, my name is Jim Martin, and I'm helping the homeless in Sussex County each day. And it's a reminder to my wife and I how inadequate we really are. We do some of the little things well, but we are powerless to do the big things. Success comes when amazing people join together to help us on the various cases that we are seeing. By teaming up with other helpers, we see hundreds of our homeless clients succeed. We are always learning new things and discovering better practices. We are in awe of the power of God as He is always connecting us together with many others. We all help each other to solve the bigger problems. I personally struggle with addiction and homelessness myself. I've been clean for 10 years. The older we get, the more deeply humble we become. My wife and I, we have 4 daughters, 1 son, and 5 grandkids. All we have of any monetary value is our time, and we are willing to give most of it to this work. Our homeless Sussex County neighbors are also working hard at their jobs and try to do the right things, yet they don't have anywhere to live or even to sleep in our communities. Some have lost all hope for a place to live, and they fall into a deep despair, and we cry together. I am here to ask the council to do a big thing. I am asking you to change the zoning regulations to allow for tiny homes. Can you create a pathway in our zoning for the construction of extremely affordable tiny houses or micro apartments for our working poor, the working homeless, and the homeless motel moms and dads that I'm seeing in Sussex County? We have a tiny home proposal on our website, tapfaith.org, but we also are looking at micro apartments, which may work better. Our current affordable housing is not affordable for many of the working poor and not even available for most who need it. This is causing homelessness to increase. The working homeless are instead paying $50 to $75 a night at rundown motels. Monthly, this is $1,500 to $1,750 a month. Can you imagine? Housing has become inaccessible to the working poor and to the unbanked. Have you ever heard of the term unbanked? I see a lot of them out there. These are folks that don't have bank accounts or credit cards, and their credit ratings are poor. The housing gap is growing wider in our county. There are lengthy waiting lists, 6 months or more for people to get into affordable housing. This is an issue for many of the homeless who are reaching out to me. They're paying the cost of application fees. The closest town to us with low-income housing that is available with no waiting lists is in Seaford, and there's only 1 opening. Over the past few days of reviewing all the data out there, there's 5 complexes in Sussex County with only 1 opening, and as soon as it opens, it is utilized quickly. This is out of 100 properties. There are 21 low-income housing complexes in Georgetown and not 1 single opening, 28 properties in Seaford and only 1 available unit.
If you could kind of close it up.
Yes, we all have waiting lists of 6 months to 1 year, and some even a 2-year wait list. I hope you all realize that some days when desperate families are calling around for available units, there's only 1 open or absolutely nothing available. My wife and I want to help the county council in any way possible and to locate acceptable land that's politically correct, if we can find that, for tiny homes or micro apartments. Thank you for your dedicated public service.
Thank you, sir. Howard Gorrell, but that was the letter
that
you read.
That was the letter.
Okay. Rich Barrasso.
Good Good morning, Mr. President. Rich Barrasso with Sarge. I just have a brief comment. It's regarding the ordinance to amend the code to replace all references to the environmentally sensitive development district with coastal area. I know that's going to be discussed this morning. Now, I know there's been a lot of controversy with the utilization and the enforcement of the ESDA overlay over the years. And I know that you can't answer this now, but I hope that when we get into the discussion, you'll be able to share the answers to two questions. One is, why the change of name? And then secondly, what does the county want to accomplish with the change? We certainly hope that in the process, that there's more clear definition of what factors and conditions make up this new designation to include, but not limited to, development areas, buffers, infrastructure, density, regulations regarding impervious surface, stormwater management, etc. I had the opportunity to participate in the most recent wetland workshop. I hope that the work around coastal area may develop into a same similar format, and that we get a workshop with regards to what we're trying to accomplish with this very unique area called the coastal area. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. You're going to introduce an ordinance, something to do with the comprehensive land plan and the adoption. I want to know what a letter is from the governor. I would suggest you bring that in the public. You can put your overpriced paper pusher to work to bring it out in the public. We can do it the easy way or we can do it the hard way. It doesn't matter, but that's going to come out in the public.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. President, can I say one thing? The letter that Mr. Moore read, Mr. Gorrell wanted to be recognized that it was his letter that was read.
Here, I'm sorry. Thank you for your letter, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul Rieger.
Good morning. Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. With the county council up on the website, putting up the packet before each meeting is excellent. The last couple meetings, the packet for the planning and zoning has been put up on the website, giving all the information, a lot of information to the public for what is to be discussed and what the cases are about. With those two running, they seem to be running pretty smooth. Seems to be pretty accurate. You get a lot of information from reading the packets and going through it and looking at the different hearings that are coming up. The last one that should be considered and would make a big help, and it comes back to what I've been discussing with advertising, the way you advertise the hearings for Board of Adjustment, where you don't really have a clue for what's going to be heard at that meeting. And Board of Adjustment is really the one that would need to pack it a lot to show what the people are coming, what the applicants are coming in for, whether it's a fence, whether it's whatever it is for. Exactly. It's a simple telling the public what it's coming in for, gets all the guesswork out. You save people who come in for thinking it's going to be one thing and it's actually not. And it also does the direct opposite, where a neighbor may think that it's something different. And then at the hearing, something totally opposite comes out, and then they wish that they had appeared. You should be able to take care of it real simple. It shouldn't be a major project to do. It would be muchly appreciated. The second thing is, and I couldn't finish this at the last meeting during public comment, but the last meeting prior to last night, that there was at the very end, they were discussing about subpoena and a builder to come in, because with buildings that are put up not meeting the setback requirements, they were writing letters to certain builders and stuff, and there seemed to be question about sending more than one to this builder or something, and they just want to find out what the deal is for why these buildings are, the structures, and are needing to come in for variances. If you look at that hearing that's coming up on March, I believe it's the first one in March, that the, I believe that the subpoena, they said that they were going to send out a subpoena, and it sounded like, if I'm correct, it was going to be the first meeting in March, that the builder, I guess, however that works with the subpoena, it's the first time I've seen it or heard how they're going to do it. But it may be good to find out whether it is our permitting process that may be at fault, it may be zoning at fault, if it's the builders at fault, if it's coming in doing one inspection for the footing and then having zoning come in after everything is built to check the setbacks. Thank you. Out of time.
Thank you, sir. Kristen Homan.
Morning.
Morning.
My name is Kristen Homan. I'm a wife, mother, grandmother, daughter, sister, and friend. I'm a small business owner in Sussex County. I'm an author, a volunteer, and a social entrepreneur. I'm a survivor of the Great Recession, but not fully recovered. My car was repossessed, and I've had a home foreclosure in 2009 and 2010. I'm here also with Jim Martin. I provide a definition of force majeure. According to Webster, it's a French translation meaning superior force. An event such as a labor strike, a riot, a war, or extreme weather event or effect that cannot be reasonably anticipated or controlled. Not alluding to force majeure in its contractual legal terms, but as it applies to homelessness, a result of unforeseen and uncontrollable circumstances, and how most residents have found themselves in this situation. Today, my goal is to urge council and all in attendance to actively and diligently address our county's enduring home scarcity issues and pursue affordable housing with attainable solutions. I implore you to investigate, please, our state's designation known as the first state to actually and factually be first in seeking solutions to this crisis and consider effective and practical zoning regarding alternative housing. Be the leaders. Think outside the box, be forward thinkers, and challenge yourselves and listen to your voters and the residents. Prepare your legacy, please. Sustainable homes and communities that set the standard for our state and then the nation. Utilize our local talent, colleges and universities, alternative builders and building solutions, solar power, water reclamation, upcycling, recycling, energy saving, and ecologically aware with minimal land preparation. Tiny homes or micro housing, please lose the image of a wood cabin on the back of Jim Weller's trailers, or forget HGTV or social media with the minimal living push. Alternative housing solutions would be an immediate step for transitioning folks from shelters into a safe and stable community. I must add that government shekels make government shackles. However, generosity of spirit, patience, and grace in collaboration with industrious creativity, local talent applying intelligent and thoughtful solutions in zoning and planning can change the course of this housing crisis and contribute to lessening the cycle of poverty, insecurity, and despair. So please consider what your legacy is to this county. And my name is Kristen. Earth is my country, human is my race, and kindness is my religion. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to move on the agenda down to the first thing under Mr. Lawson to let the our students in the back, who I'm sure are anxious to get back to school. We will do the tribute now for the National FFA Week.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have a tribute here, and I do know that we are joined by members of the Sussex Central FFA and their advisor, Mr. Brandon McCabe. I'll read the tribute from the council, and I know Mr. Wilson and Mr. Riley would like to join the students in the picture. So a tribute from Sussex County Council: be it hereby known to all that the Sussex County Council joins in the celebration of National FFA Week. The Sussex County Council recognizes the Sussex Central High School FFA for its work to cultivate interest among students in agriculture and in becoming the leaders of tomorrow, and directs this tribute to be presented to the FFA program students and faculty advisor on this 19th day of February 2019, signed Samuel R. Wilson, Jr., Councilman. Congratulations. I'd like to invite you to come
right
forward.
On down,
come on down, and we'll have a picture taken.
Raleigh's going down here. Mr. Wilson down there.
Jane, when we get back to school, I think we're calling up the cows.
Yeah, I see.
Our face is yucky, Jesus.
Come on forward, we're going to turn it around.
Yeah, kind of get up here around the podium with our, yeah.
You can get in, we can get somebody else in.
Yeah.
Sure, anybody wants you to get, yeah, sure.
Okay, if I could maybe get the taller ladies, maybe one there and one, you'll step out just a little bit. All right, you can squeeze them there. Sam Harper's a little bit, okay.
Got one more.
And then we're dancing.
Oh, yeah. Heard of him in there.
Okay, now if I tighten up as much as you can.
Is this tight enough?
God. Take my best sign.
Okay, thank you. Did you get one?
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll move back up on the agenda now, and we'll have a short presentation on the Milford Shipyard by Sheriff Valenzuela, Vice President of First State Manufacturing. Come on down. And anybody else wants to come on down? Come on down. Okay. I'm sure you picked up on the short part there.
My name is Dan Bond. I'm from Milford, Delaware. Sheriff Valenzuela and I appreciate the opportunity to make a presentation to the council about a project that we began with a team of people about a year ago. I have a presentation. I'll try to make it short. I'm from Georgia originally, so I don't talk that fast. That's okay. This presentation, the first half, is basically to give you information about the valuable resource we have in Milford in the shipyard. The second half is what we plan to do with the shipyard going forward, to make it part of a regional park, eventually something that could link the head of the Mississippian River at Abbott's Mill all the way through Milford and its greenway to the bay entrance, the Delaware DuPont Nature Center and at Savage Beach, Slaughter Beach at the mouth of the Mississippian River. First, some basic facts. For about 150 years, starting in 1760, the history of Milford was intimately tied with wooden shipbuilding. At the shipyards, at the industry's peak at the end of the 19th century, there were 7 shipyards active in Milford, employing 3/4 of Milford's workforce. More than 300 wooden ships were built in Milford between 1680 and 1927. Milford produced more wooden ships than any of the other 7 significant shipbuilding yards on the Delaware Bay, including Wilmington. The Vineyard Shipbuilding Company, which was founded in 1896, is the last of the 7 Milford shipyards to survive today. It is also the last fully operational wooden shipbuilding facility on the Delaware Bay and one of the very few in the United States. Should have run this through you. I forgot the clicking here.
That's all right.
I'll skip that now. In the early years, they simply built these ships on the banks of the river. And they focused on building tugboats and sailing vessels of various types. The Vineyard Shipyard produced the last sailing ship, an 89-foot-long pleasure yacht called the Scutty Sark. It was launched in 1921. At that time, most shipbuilders were switching to metal hulls, and the wood boat building industry was dying out. But the Vineyard Shipyard was able to survive and continue to produce for some time. In World War I, it produced subchasers for the Navy. During the 1920s Prohibition period, it built what were called six bitters. These were Coast Guard patrol boats that used to chase the rum runners. Then in World War II, the U.S. Navy again contracted with the shipyard to build wooden-hulled subchasers. These were known as the splinter fleet of the Navy. And their major industry, which began in 1927 and continued after World War II until 1951, was the production of luxury wooden yachts. It was the Cadillac of yacht builders in the United States. Now, the last of the Vineyard yachts was built in 1951, but the shipyard continued to operate repairing ships and boats until 1973. Another company built boats there from 73 to 83, but then the shipyard basically fell into disrepair and ruin. And it was condemned in 1995 and would likely have been torn down. Thankfully, in 1996, Joan and Sutler Laughlin purchased the Vineyard Shipyard and restored it over the next several years. They put it back into use for shipboat repair and restoration. They preserved a beautiful set of shops there. These are photographs of the woodworking shop and the machine shop that are on site there. And you can notice that this is equipment from the turn of the century that was used to create these wooden crafts. They built another large structure on the shipyard to store their boats and various artifacts. And they even started a small museum in a building on the shipyard. The Laughlins collected documents and artifacts, wrote books, produced videos, and Joan in particular has been very involved in the process of recording the history of this shipyard. They found and purchased three surviving Vineyard yachts, and they restored them, as you can see, beautifully. They periodically rotate them between where they're stored in Kent Island and the shipyard in Milford. Oftentimes, there'll be one of these at the shipyard for people to see. In 2016, the Vineyard Shipyard was recognized as a state historic landmark, and a plaque was installed at its entrance. The shipyard area has been part of the National Register of Historic Places since 1983. And this is an area that covers the shipyard and the surrounding properties where the shipbuilders used to live. Today, the shipyard consists of the offices and warehouse, the mold sail loft, the boathouse, the machine shop, the large storage building they built for their boats and their home, which plus the museum building. And then more recently, the Laughlins acquired a nearby historic facility called the Mulholland Spoon Factory. If you remember in the old days when you got your little ice cream, you had a wooden spoon in there, it was produced at the Mulholland. They also produced tongue depressors, made it out of ash wood. Now, what is happening today is that an effort has begun to try to find a way to continue the preservation of these facilities and make them more publicly available. The Laughlins have no children and they're concerned about the legacy of the work that they have done there. They don't want it just to see it after they can no longer take care of it disappear. So we're working with the Laughlins to come up with a plan of how we can preserve the shipyard and the Mulholland Spoon Factory and make it available to the public as a resource. Also to make it the center of what we envision as a park along the Mississippian River just east of downtown, a real continuation of the Greenway project that has been done in Milford for the last 30 years. This map shows the current Greenway, the river walk that we have in Milford. It goes all the way from Silver Lake in the west, east to Goat Island. The idea for this originated back in the 1970s when several prominent leaders in the town developed the plan to face the river rather than to turn their backs to the river, and created a real resource for the city. And I think most of you know that one of the things that Milford is best known for is our Riverwalk. There's an area just east of town, including portions of the Riverwalk and Goat Island, but also land that was formerly owned and occupied by Gromark, still owned by Gromark, and other land that is available that create a potential park area. We're very lucky to have this land so close to our downtown. Our historic downtown is just on the left edge of that circle. This identifies sort of the extent of this 50-acre area that we see for downtown, the red line around this property. And here you can see the greenway along the south side, the Sussex County side of the river, the Bicentennial Park on the north side, Goat Island on the east end of the walkway, and the Gromark property on the north side of the river. That is also a floodplain, so it will have a limited use except for something like recreational facilities. The first step in coming up with the plan was to create an RFP, a request for proposals for a study by a professional group. We sent this out to quite a few organizations that have done studies like this. We've got several who visit the shipyard. We had three actual proposals, and we chose a group from Wilmington, Architectural Alliance Incorporated, to do the study. They have put together an interdisciplinary team of people all from the Delmarva Peninsula who have backgrounds in how to do this type of park, to preserve it, to make it work. This study is going to cost roughly $56,000. Now, we presented the idea of this project and the study, and we made a request for funding from the city of Milford first. And the city of Milford came up with $10,000 initially, but they said they would match Kent County or Sussex County, whatever they provided. We next went to the levy court in Kent County, which had a great interest in the shipyard, largely because of Delaware Turf. Delaware Turf is a big success, but it needs nearby activities that the people who attend those events can get to and enjoy between the various sporting events. And they see this as a big attraction for them. They upped the ante and promised to put in $15,000. So now we went back to the city of Milford and said we've got to match $15,000. We're seeking now funds from you, from Sussex County. And I put on a tie today, which I didn't for the city council or for the levy court, because I'm in Sussex County where you got money. We're asking you for $20,000. That will force the other two to come up and match you, I think, and we'll have paid for the study. If we fail to raise all the money from the public, we certainly will be from the governments, we will go to the public and have a fundraising from the public. Now, why do this? Well, first, I think you know, Milford is now the center of growth in southern Delaware. Fastest growing town since 2010. It's being stimulated by various programs that encourage investment in real estate and in business, such as the Downtown Development District and the Opportunity Zone designation for North Milford that we recently received. There have been several projects started that will have major impact on the downtown. The Bay Health Sussex County, the campus is in Milford, opened a couple of weeks ago. Beautiful facility. This is a regional health complex serving all of southern Delaware. Nemours Children's Health System is also going to put a building on this site. They're beginning construction soon. The old Milford Hospital has been taken over by Nationwide Healthcare Services and is going to be turned into a multi-use center for education, health, housing, and other services to the city and Kent and Sussex County. And of course, Delaware Turf. This is generating tourism. Really, for the first time, Milford is getting some tourism nearby that's really bringing people into the town. They're looking for places to stay, places to eat, recreation, things to do in Milford. We're only 7 miles south of this very nice Delaware Turf facility, which has exceeded all of the expectations for it in terms of the events that are being held there. Now, we are focusing right now on the preservation of the shipyard and the Mulholland factory and how they can be made available to the public for various activities. But we see this as the heart of that idea of a 50-acre park in the downtown area, and eventually linking this facility in Milford all the way to the Abbott's Mill facility, Delaware Nature Society operates that, and to DuPont Nature Center. In other words, a whole greenway that would involve boating, recreation, hiking, and so forth, that allow you to go from west to east, east to west along the river. This is a development that would actually put into practice what is ideally, that currently is really a concept, and that is the Coastal Heritage Greenway, which does envision this link between the bay and Milford as part of it. This is a major vision, I say, to have a corridor that spans the coast for 90 miles from Fox Point State Park north of Wilmington all the way to the southern border of Delaware. This, I think, is the first step to actually implement that in this part of Sussex County. Here you can see what I'm talking about. We have Abbott's Mill Nature Center on the lower left, which is at the head of the Mississippian. We have the Milford Riverwalk Greenway in the city of Milford, and of course the park that we're envisioning built along that greenway. We also have Milford Neck Wildlife Preserve. Most people don't even know about this. It's not a very highly utilized, but it's a large 1,000-acre native Delawarean forest, the last large remaining piece of forest land in Delaware that is on the northern tip of the Mississippian River as it wiggles its way around the marshlands there. And of course, the DuPont Nature Center, Delaware Bay. Now, you've just finished a very extensive planning exercise again, and I think that this project fits very well into the goals that you have in the Sussex Plan. One, for your future land use, to identify and designate future development areas in a manner that protects the county's natural and cultural resources. Certainly we have major cultural and natural resources in this area. And second, your recreation and open space goals, to enhance the quality of life for county residents by sustaining and expanding the parks and recreation system in the county. And this fits very squarely into that, serving particularly the northern part of the county, but it also is something that will attract people from all over the world. We think that this project could have benefits for recreation, boat building for young and old, getting people on the river. It could be educational, bringing school kids to the facility to see how wooden boats were made in the past, to see what tools were used, how the wooden boats were built. Cultural, this is a critical part of Southern Delaware's history. Now, we've had shipyards all through the towns, the older towns of Delaware. This is the one that survives and should be maintained so we see part of our history. Community building, because we really do envision this as a community project. It will depend upon the community to make sure that these activities are created and carried out. We can't just rely upon the governments to do this. This has to be a community effort, so we'll be doing a lot of community building. And economic, this will create jobs, but it will also enhance our new hospital, our new wellness center, Delaware Turf. It will make those very important economic developments more successful. Imagine the possibilities of this. I'd like to ask Sharon to join me, and we'd love to answer any questions you have. Thank you.
Questions of council? Questions of council. Anybody? Mr. Burton.
I do have a question or two. And this goes to really to Mr. Lawson. Have we ever paid for a study before? Do we do this?
A study for a non-county initiative, meaning something that the county council has not endorsed or asked for, to my knowledge, no.
And then, secondly, where's Milford? Are they behind you, or are they?
Absolutely.
Where are they?
Sharon and I have been, and other members of our task force, which consists right now of 8 people who really represent all areas of importance for this project, and they're all local Milfordians. People like Gary Emery, of course, who was our Parks and Recreation Director for 30 years and was instrumental with the Greenway. He's part of the effort. Sarah Kate Hammer, is with us today. She's been involved in Downtown Milford Incorporated, our not-for-profit that the city works very closely with, and they are serving as a not-for-profit organization that will is actually being able to take money and, you know, organize a study. We are a task force of public citizens. We have no organization, so DMI stepped in and said, we like what you're doing. Not that DMI is going to do this, but we will be the front for the funding and the execution of this plan. In terms of future past planning, there's been a lot of planning in Milford, I'm sure you're aware of, a lot. And I put together a bibliography of about 30 different plans and relevant resources that have focused on this area in Milford and told Architectural Alliance, don't repeat any of this. Study all that's been done up to now because we've had some very good planning in Milford. But go forward. How does this extend the Greenway? How does it extend the vision that created the Mississippi and Riverwalk Greenway? How do we create a park? And most important, how do we create the activities that will make this work? We've talked with local people like Brad Dennehy, who's currently head of Parks and Rec. How does this fit into the Parks and Rec's needs? And there's a lot of needs there, particularly for teenage kids in Milford, downtown, where they can do activities along the river. The most active piece of real estate in downtown Milford is our basketball court on the river. It is used all day long and into the night until they close it, for the noise, of course. Well, we need more sports downtown, and this is a site for that. So there has been a lot of work and thought done already, but this is focusing on basically how can the shipyard be maintained. And I think the city is critical because the shipyard has been there. The city council has been aware of it. It has been offered to the city council in the past, and they have turned it down because there wasn't a plan. So we feel that if there is a plan of how to maintain, finance, and operate and make active use of the shipyard, then the city may very well say, yes, we will purchase the shipyard and make it part of our park system. But maybe the city is not the one to run the shipyard. This is what we want to find out. How do you operate it? And a good example of what can be very successful is a private-public partnership, like in the Pittsburgh area, where 20 years ago, a private group like ours came in and said to the city, our park system needs to be operated with people focusing on the activities and what's going on in the park and maintaining them and so forth. The city owns the park system, but we need to operate it. And they made a partnership where the city takes care of the capital expenditures, basically. But then this private group, not-for-profit, runs the park system, creates the activities, raises money for those activities. It's a partnership. That's the kind of model we want to explore. Now, we're asking experts to tell us, is that a fundable model? How could it be funded? Certain kinds of funding can come to a not-for-profit. Certain kinds can come to a city. Certain can come to a municipal park system. But basically, we have to find out what is the best model and then go back to the city and discuss what is the next step.
I would also add, IG, that we've been working, as Dan said at the beginning, for over a year, meeting with folks, I would call them stakeholders and leaders, community leaders, but not only just in Milford to connect the dots and the talent that we have right in the city of Milford, but in Sussex County, because Sussex County, the shipyard is, you know, a part of Sussex County. And so we look at that as a Sussex County project, and connecting all of the resources that we have in Sussex County has been very valuable as well. We want to make sure that there is an awareness project going on at the same time that we're pursuing the end to the means in terms of the fulfillment of the entire mission, the entire vision for the project. But it's definitely something that can be looked at as a, you know, a county asset as well.
I have one question.
Mr. Hudson.
When it's all said and done, at the end of the day, who owns this project?
You mean in terms of the long term?
Yes.
The study that Dan just spoke of, our Bioarchitectural Alliance, will come up with a variety of options in terms of the way that other projects such as this, you know, throughout the country, perhaps even the world, are maintained. And through that, mm-hmm. we'll be able to make those best decisions.
Okay. Thank you.
More questions, Council?
Well, if you're having trouble raising this much money, how are we going to go ahead and build it?
Actually, I don't think it's been trouble at all. We've gone in front of Milford City Council and gotten unanimous approval because they see the value of it. We had the same experience with Kent County. So I do not see this as something that's going to be difficult. When it comes to the streams of support, financial support that we will find, and I'm sure that Architectural Alliance will underscore this, you've got the cultural aspect, you've got the historical aspect, the ecological aspect. There are going to be streams that are available, some of which we're already looking into to get ourselves prepared and aware of. But this is the sort of project that should not be difficult to fund.
So Milford's holding back on it $10,000, right?
No, they're not holding back. They're waiting for you.
You said you could get $10,000 out of them. So it seemed like maybe you've got just about what you can get out of them, I guess, up to $10,000, right?
Well, when Kent County came up with 15, they raised theirs to 15, okay. And we're looking for the same sort of experience here today.
Okay, talking about spooning mills, probably a lot of these guys don't remember that, but my dad has talked about that many times. He was, in 1920, he was working in Marcus Hook making spoons, wooden spoons.
Is that right?
For Dixie Cups.
So this is still a beautiful building.
Yep.
And this entire area will be maximized by what we're doing, as a result.
It went a lot closer. It went all in Marcus Hook.
But another side of your question, perhaps, is in the long term, how do you finance a project as ambitious as this? You know, a 50-acre park that you're going to develop. The same way that the Greenway basically was financed, I think. They worked very hard to acquire the land, to purchase the land, to put in the Riverwalk and so forth. Almost all of that money came from national, federal, highway, off-road funding. Gary Emery was a master at writing grants. There was very little of Milford money had to go into the construction of the Greenway.
Representative George Kerry was involved in it.
Right? Yes, yeah. That's true.
And here too, the Laughlins themselves have already done so much work on the physical facilities that there's not a lot of work that needs to be done. Those are in very good shape. I don't know if you noticed the photograph before and after the shipyard. Mm-hmm. They're in very good shape. The key at first, just to get the ball rolling, is to get activities going. You know, what will bring the people into the shipyard? Is it boat building? Is it educational classes? Is it hobbyists coming there to work on things? It's the activities. Now, those are not as expensive as the capital construction side of it. There'll be both budgets, but, you know, the reason to go to professionals is to say, how has this been done in other places that are similar to our situation? Tell us what are our options. And then we find the options, we talk again with everybody in the community and the governments, we decide on one, and then we start the slow process. It'll be a many-year project to make this happen.
Question, who owns the boatyard? Who's going to own this boatyard?
Well, right now, of course, the Laughlins own it, and they're willing to sell it to the city for a very reasonable price, so that eventually, you know, the city might buy it, eventually some other group might buy it. It could even be private. That's quite possible. Both of us are very supportive of having private activities developed along with this. And there's land around this park area that we'd love to see, for example, a water park. Right. Delaware Turf started talking about putting a water park next to the sports field where they had. We said, no, put it in Milford. Put it right downtown in Milford so that people can easily come here and use it. Or an indoor trampoline facility so that, you know, you can... Between those sporting events, you might have 2 or 3 hours. Now, in the summertime, you know you can't get from Milford to the ocean in 2 or 3 hours and back, but you can get to Milford and enjoy a water park. So we're talking a lot with Delaware Turf. Bill Strickland and the Delaware Turf people are encouraging us to develop these activities for all the tourists who are coming in for those sports events.
Any more questions, Council? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you for your presentation. Mr. Lawson, back to you, sir. Board of Adjustment appointment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Put this agenda item on today. We have a vacancy on the Board of Adjustment in District 4, and I understand that Councilman Hudson has a candidate in mind.
I do have a nomination. That would be John Williamson.
Okay.
So
you will get the paperwork to him and get all the questions answered, and
we'll begin the process, and we will... schedule a public interview here at a future council meeting.
Sure.
Potentially maybe as soon as next Tuesday.
Okay. That's fine.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And County Administrator's Report for February 19, 2019. Item 1, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for January 2019 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 191 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of January. Item 2, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheets, the following projects have received substantial completion. Truett Homestead Phase 2 construction record effective January 28th, Peninsula Phase 1C Sailside effective February 12th, and Sea Star Village at Millville by the Sea Section 3 effective February 12th. And number 3, it is with sadness that we note the passing of County Pensioner Kirk Miller on Wednesday, February 6th. Mr. Miller began his career with Sussex County in January 1991, where he worked in the EMS department until July 1995. Mr. Miller returned to the county in January 1998 and retired from EMS as a paramedic 2 in July 2010 for a total of 17 years. We'd like to extend our condolences to the Miller family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Poff, Foreign Trade Zone.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of the council. If you remember, back in November, we had Patty Cannon from the Delaware Division of Small Business and Scott Taylor, with a partner with Miller & Company PC, to present the idea of having our airport and our business park designated a foreign trade zone. We hope to have had this back on the agenda in December, but with schedules it was sort of hard to get it on in December, and then we had a government shutdown. So it's back on the agenda today, and we're here to request the funds to move forward to have our Delaware Coastal Airport and Business Park designated a foreign trade zone.
And the number, I think, was $25,000. That sounds right.
$25,000.
Okay. And that, Mrs. Jennings, that money would come from?
That one will come from contingency.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Any, you have a motion, I guess?
I do.
Okay, why don't you read your motion, then we've got any questions.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorizes the Economic Development Director and the Delaware Coastal Airport Director to work with Scott Taylor, partner, Miller & Company, PC, to apply for foreign trade zone designation for the Delaware Coastal Airport, the Delaware Coastal Business Park, not to exceed $25,000.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Questions on the motion?
So you pay into the...
Hire the attorney to do all the paperwork. That's what he does.
I don't have any more questions.
Yeah, that's to hire the attorney. Yeah. And he does all the paperwork for us to send all the stuff to the federal government.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I have the motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And expedite that as soon as you can get that done.
Done for lunch.
I don't know about that, but yeah. Mr. Bedlars. Fencing Services, RFP.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. Quick recap on the fencing. You know, we have a large backlog on various fencing projects, whether they're landfills, airports, pump stations, you name it. So the 2 years ago, in 2017, we approached Council with a 5-year fencing contract, which established unit prices for gates, for specific types of fence, barbed wire, non-barbed wire, a whole chopping slew card of different fencing services. So you gave us the authority, gave the engineering department the authority to renew that contract on a calendar year basis. We are now in the second renewal for 2019. And you see all these projects come through as change orders because the initial contract had zero money. So whenever you envision a project for fencing, it comes through as a change order. So please don't look at this as we don't know what the scope is. No, we know quite well what the scope is, and every year in the budget, we put certain fencing monies in the budget, then you'll see them come through as change orders. So in the near future, you'll see us come back if there's another project, whether that's at a landfill or at the airport or at the environmental services. This particular one thing was triggered by a comment from DNRC requiring us to have a gate at Piney Neck to provide the through traffic because it had to do with spray exposure to the public. The public uses it as a cut through, so we're going to have to put a gate up to stop that. That's one. And three of the pump stations we have recently been redoing, and we took the fences down in the process. Now we're up and have to replace the fencing with new fencing, and these are fences which are like 30 years old. So the change order before you is for the $30,000 for the gate and the three fences at three pump stations.
You have a motion?
I have a motion. It moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number 3 for contract 17-14 fencing services be approved, increasing the contract amount by $20,000 for a new contract total of $90,767.30.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions?
I got one. Why are we putting the fence up to start with? Why do we need a fence?
Some pump stations don't have fences, Councilman, and most of the time it's driven by the public. If the public likes to have limited access, we put a fence up. If they don't, we put locks on the various hatches and electric equipment. Now, the gate at Piney Neck, that was a state comment issue on our annual review letter.
So we don't really need one?
There's a number of pump stations, there are dozens of pump stations with no fences.
Fences make good neighbors.
There you go.
I was just going on where somewhere all the way up to present, he'd send me a fence.
All right. Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I will let you carry it. Thank you, sir.
I didn't get any questions.
You did have a question. Mr. Ashman?
Was that a good question?
Morning, sir.
Morning.
I'm here this morning for a use of infrastructure agreement for the Lewis Hotel LLC. The project is located in the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, West Rehoboth area, and utilizing county's existing infrastructure. As part of our proactive wastewater infrastructure planning, the engineering department developed the use of existing infrastructure agreements. This agreement will allow Lewis Hotel LLC, developers of the Hyatt Hotel, to connect 57.83 EDUs to the existing infrastructure in exchange for $37,713. Payment will be required prior to receiving a connection permit for the project. System connection charges of $6,360 or the fee at time of permit request will still be due prior to the building permit being issued. The developer has previously executed the agreement, and we are asking for permission for council president to execute as well.
You have a motion?
I do. Be it moved based upon a recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approves the use of existing infrastructure agreement between Sussex County and Lewis Hotel LLC for capacity allocation in the regional transmission system as presented on February 19th, 2019.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions?
Pay for a private enterprise, right?
Yes.
Pay for the users. We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I'll be on motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ms. Cornwell.